Matthew 13. On that day, Jesus went out of the house and was sitting by the sea, and great multitudes gathered to him. So he got into a boat and sat down, and the whole multitude was standing on the beach. And he spoke many things to them in parables, saying, Behold, the sower went out to sow. And as he sowed, some seeds fell beside the road, and the birds came and ate them up. Others fell upon the rocky places, and they did not have much soil. Immediately they sprang up, because they had no depth of soil. But when the sun had risen, they were scorched, and because they had no root, they withered away. And others fell among the thorns, and the thorns came up and choked them out. And others fell on the good soil and yielded a crop, some 100-fold, some 60, and some 30. He who has ears, let him hear. And the disciples came and said to him, Why do you speak to them in parables? And he answered and said to them, To you it has been granted to know the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven, but to them it has not been granted. For whoever has, to him shall more be given, and he shall have an abundance. But whoever does not have, even what he has shall be taken away from him. Therefore I speak to them in parables, because while seeing they do not see, while hearing they do not hear, nor do they understand. And in their case, the prophecy of Isaiah is being fulfilled, which says, You will keep on hearing, but will not understand. You will keep on seeing, but will not perceive. For the heart of this people has become dull, and with their ears they scarcely hear, and they have closed their eyes, lest they should see with their eyes, and hear with their ears, and understand with their heart, and return, and I shall heal them. But blessed are your eyes because they see, and your ears because they hear. For truly I say to you that many prophets and righteous men desire to see what you see, and did not see it, and to hear what you hear, and did not hear it. Hear then the parable of the sower. When anyone hears the word of the kingdom and does not understand it, the evil one comes and snatches away what has been sown in his heart. This is the one whom seed was sown beside the road. And the one on whom the seed was sown on the rocky places, this is a man who hears the word, immediately receives it with joy. Yet he has no firm root in himself, but is only temporary, and when affliction or persecution arises because of the word, immediately he falls away. And the one whom soon was seen among the thorns, this is the man who hears the word, and the worry of the world, the deceitfulness of riches, choke the word, and it becomes unfruitful. And the one on whom seed was sown on the good soil, this is the man who hears the word and understands it, who indeed bears fruit and brings forth some 100-fold, some 60, and some 30. He presented another parable to them, saying, The kingdom of heaven may be compared to a man who sowed good seed in his field. But while men were sleeping, his enemies came and sowed tares also among the wheat, and went away. But when the wheat sprang up and bore grain, then the tares became evident also. And the slaves of the owner came and said to him, Sir, did you not sow good seed in your field? How then does it have tares? And he said to them, An enemy has done this. And the slave said to him, Do you want us then to go and gather them up? And he said, No, lest while you are gathering up the tares, you may root up the wheat with them. Allow both to grow together until the harvest. And in the time of the harvest, I will say to the reapers, First gather the tares and bind them in bundles and burn them up, but gather the wheat into my barn. He presented another parable to them, saying, The kingdom of heaven is like a mustard seed, which a man took and sowed in his field. And this is smaller than all other seeds, but when it is full grown, it is larger than the garden plants and becomes a tree, so that the branches of the air come and nest in its branches. And he spoke another parable to them, The kingdom of heaven is like leaven, which a woman took and hid in 3 pecks of meal until it was all leaven. And all these things Jesus spoke to the multitudes in parables, and he did not speak to them without a parable, so that what was spoken through the prophet might be fulfilled, saying, I will open my mouth in parables, I will utter things hidden since the foundation of the world. Then he left the multitudes and went into the house, and his disciples came to him, saying, Explain to us the parable of the tares of the field. And he answered and said, The one who sows the good seed is the Son of Man, and the field is the world. And as for the good seed, these are the sons of the kingdom, and the tares are the sons of the evil one. And the enemy who sowed them in this is the devil, and the harvest is the end of the age, and the reapers are angels. Therefore, just as the tares are gathered up and burned with fire, so shall be at the end of the age. The Son of Man will send forth his angels, and will gather out of his kingdom all stumbling blocks and all those who commit lawlessness, and will cast them into the furnace of fire, and in that place there shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Then the righteous shall shine forth as a sun in the kingdom of their Father. He who has ears, let him hear. The kingdom of heaven is like a treasure hidden in the field, which a man found and hid, and from joy over it goes and sells all that he has and buys that field. Again, a kingdom of heaven is like a merchant seeking fine pearls, and upon finding one pearl of great value, he went and sold all that he had and bought it. Again, the kingdom of heaven is like a dragnet cast into the sea and gathering fish of every kind. And when it was filled, they drew it up on the beach, and they sat down and gathered the good fish into containers, but the bad they threw away. So it shall be at the end of the age, the angels shall come forth and take out of the wicked from among the righteous, and will cast them into the furnace of fire, and there shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Have you understood all these things? And they said to him, Yes. And he said, Therefore, every scribe who has become a disciple of the kingdom of heaven is like a head of a household, who brings forth of his treasure things new and old. And it came about when Jesus had finished these parables, he departed from there, and coming to his hometown, he began teaching them in the synagogue, so that when they became astonished and said, where did this man get this wisdom and these miraculous powers? Is not this the carpenter's son? Is not his mother called Mary, and his brothers James and Joseph and Simon and Judas, and his sisters? Are they not all with us? Where then did this man get all these things? And they took offense at him. But Jesus said to them, a prophet is not without honor except in his hometown and his own household, and he did not do many miracles there because of their unbelief. Amen. And so the Lord comes and he starts teaching them in parables now, which is really a fulfillment of the prophecies, right? The messianic prophecies that, you know, the Messiah will come and teach in parables. And Jesus does a really smart thing. He actually goes on the boat. And he goes into the water, you know, and everyone else is on shore. And if you know the Sea of Galilee, this whole area, there's actually mountains that cover it. And so he basically created like an amphitheater, right? His voice would actually bounce off the water, and it would create such a crisp. It's almost like a kind of like a, you know, created microphone in a way. And so he goes and he starts teaching these parables. And the first one he talks about the sower who went out to sow in the seed. And this is you could read this in a couple of different ways. You know, obviously, if you were to read it in a very simple way, we could see that if I'm sharing God's word today and I'm speaking, 25% of you will understand what I'm saying. Right, that's not very good odds, right? That is definitely a very, very viable translation. Yes, 25% of the people will grasp and understand what's going on. But the way I translate more, I translate it more in relation to our heart. Okay, and so he begins to explain, you know, why, you know, the whole idea is, why is it that that people don't, you know, understand and whatnot? It's the issue, as he goes through, the issue is the heart. You know, it says it's because, you know, they don't understand, and their eyes don't see, their ears don't perceive. Why? Because these are all channels of the heart, you know, and so it's really contingent. It's really important for all of us that we present a pure, right, a receiving heart before the Lord, you know, whenever we are receiving his word. So he begins to explain, and we've all seen different aspects of this worked out, right? I'm sure that if you've been in church long enough, like, you know, I've been around in Hong Kong for a little while, and as I read, you know, these passages, I have names that go right alongside, you know, of people that, don't worry, I'm not going to say the names, you know, but it's just so obvious, right? She's just like the thorn, you know? I mean, she's not the thorn, but she's like the person whose seed was like the thorn, man, right? All of a sudden, you know, and, you know, just getting too involved, and something happens in the world, and, you know, just intoxicated by wealth, and, you know, and so on and so forth. It's so clear, but again, it's the soil is the heart. You know, some of us are greedier than other people. You know, some of us are more concerned with outward appearance than other people. You know, some, you know, in this way have a very good heart. And the key in verse 19, it says, when anyone hears the word of the kingdom and does not understand. There's a few words in Greek that deal with knowledge or understanding. You may be familiar with some of them. I'll share a quick one. The first one is genosko, right? Is the word, and this is a knowledge gained or knowledge grounded on personal experience. In other words, you understand because you experienced it, right? This is mostly in the scriptures when the Bible talks about knowledge or knowing. This is exactly what it's talking about. The Hebrew, right? The word yada, right? This is Adam knew Eve and they conceived, right? It was born out of experience. You know, and so that's genosko. There's another word, edo, which means to see with the mind's eye. And this means this is a clear and purely mental perception. This may not mean it's true, right? But it's what your mind thinks is true, right? This is totally a mental exercise, you know? And so this is, you know, knowledge gained through studying in a very, very simple way, right? You study, you know, one, you experience. The other one, you study, you know, a book or something. Like maybe, you know, you could actually study a book on flying kites. You've never flown a kite before in your life, but you read a book on flying kites, you know, and you're thus an expert on flying kites, even though you've never flown a kite before. So again, it's purely, you know, not necessarily superficial, but it's purely mental. And then there's another word called episteme, and this is knowledge obtained by proximity to the thing that's known. In other words, this is basically knowledge or understanding you get from observing, right? You can, you know, you're close to the thing, right? And you observe, right? Maybe you, you know, you are being apprenticing somewhere, you know, and you don't do yet, right? Because that would be the, that would be genosko, but you're just episteme, you're just observing. And, but even when you observe, you gain a sort of knowledge. The word here to understand, right, is the word suniamai, and this is what we call native insight. You know, this is knowledge gained through the five senses. You know, another word of that is to set or to bring together, and the connotation actually is like combatants, you know, coming in. So the knowledge that he's talking about here, if I could just put it very plainly, is just naturally what's in our hearts. Right, and, you know, which goes to, you know, what I was saying before, right? It's not necessarily that you gain by experience. It's just that, you know, it's our five senses, you know, sight, smell, touch, and it's basically something that's within us, right? And so when the seed comes, right, the understanding, it's the heart that is the soil. You know, it's this heart that we can perceive and bring the, all these things about. You know, we can spend time saying, okay, the 25% of you, this 25, that's not really going to help us all that much, right? But what we can know is that we can continue to offer our heart before the Lord. Maybe some of us, you know, we're, this, on this rocky places, right? And there's no firm root. And as soon as persecution or something comes, then it gets snatched away. How can we change our hearts in that way that we can receive God's word? We need to build a stronger foundation, right? We need to make sure that the seed goes a little deeper, you know. And then there's one sown among the thorns, you know. And, you know, this is basically, he hears the word, you know, and the word is really great and, you know, and things like that. And, but sure enough, as soon as the worries and the riches of the world come, right, it's done away with. And so we need to be very aware that's not, you know, that we need to be, you know, people that, you know, basically give our worries to the Lord instead of try to, you know, take it in for ourselves. I mean, what can we do with the worries around us? And then there was seed, you know, seed that was sown. I'm sorry, what was the other one? Seed sown beside the soil, right, beside the road. You know, and these are the rocky places, and, you know, receives it with joy, but nothing more happens in that. You know, so we can make sure that our, you know, our soil, our heart is fertile. You know, and this is a very easy depiction, right? Is along, you know, the field. You think, why is this rocky thing? This is actually kind of roads that people have made because they walked a lot, you know, to get through the field, or a shortcut or something, and it created a very rocky ground or hard ground. And then, but the soil that we want, the heart that we want, is the good soil where the word of God comes and we understand it. Right, we synonymize it in our hearts, and it bears much, much fruit, you know. And so this is our challenge, each one of us, you know, that we offer up good soil before the Lord, you know, so that out of that could be incredible fruitfulness. And then he shares another parable, very similar, you know, about the tares, you know, among the wheat, you know. And, you know, the Lord gives a pretty good idea. This is, you know, quite simply what happens, right? The enemy comes and brings, you know, as he springs the wheat up, he's also puts in tares. The tare is actually the word, it's the word darnel, okay? And the darnel is actually a weed that actually resembles a wheat, you know? And so when we're talking about these tares, that's what it means. It's actually, if you look at it, it actually looks like wheat, but if you take a closer look at it, then you know, oh, this is not wheat, this is a darnel, you know? And so the Lord, you know, he plants the seeds, he plants the wheat, and it grows. You know, the enemy also plants, you know, the tares. He plants these things, and this could also be attributed to things in our heart as well, right? You know, and I'm not saying that there are spies, you know, in the church or whatnot. I mean, there could very well be, in the sense that not necessarily working for the enemy, You know, even though, let me share this story. One of my professors in seminary, he was sharing with me, he had this meeting with his pastor, and his pastor had come to a new church, and, you know, they were kind of having problems, and he was a new pastor, and he was going through, and there was this one elder that was just, he just couldn't figure this guy out, you know, and he seemed like a very godly man and stuff, but as he would continue to pray, it was just something just in his spirit, just didn't sit well, you know, and he thought that maybe there's something really wrong with this guy, you know, and he was creating problems, you know, and all in the guise of we want a great church and whatnot, but he was creating a lot of problems. So he decided to confront him one day, and he asked him, he says, hey, you know, what's your story? Like, what's going on with you? And just kept at it, and I guess the anointing was so strong over this guy that finally this elder cracked. And he basically turned to him and says, yes, I'm a disciple in the church of Satan, and I have been planted here to ruin you and to ruin this church. And he was an elder. This is a true story, right? And so I'm not saying that, you know, in these tears, I know you guys are all freaked out now, right? And looking at all the elders at church with shifty eyes, right? You know, but I'm not saying that that happens. You know, I mean, I'm sure it happens as well. You know, but apart from that is the enemy, he plants things, you know. There's good soil, and it's just, it's really God's grace and compassion. You know, I mean, we would just like to see evil just taken out, right? But if that were to happen, then a lot of good wheat would also be taken out, right? And so he says, just wait till the end, you know, and then my angels will come, and they'll separate the wheat, you know, in a very same way he talks about separating the sheep and the goats, you know, and the enemy will take care of business, right? And so, you know, again, if I interpret this for us in something that's more meaningful to us, right? It's offering our hearts before the Lord, right? Is there anything demonic, you know, about our heart? I'm not saying that it belongs to the enemy, you know, but is there malice, you know? Is there anger? Is there hatred or unforgiveness, you know, that resides in our heart, you know, and that could very easily be, you know, interpreted as those tares that are there, the darnels, you know, that are also living amongst the good stuff, right? Is there a spirit of Jezebel, you know, like, and this is very prevalent, you know, in churches a lot, right? Is this whole idea of this, you know, not idea, but just the wanting this, not wanting to submit to leadership, you know, and having like these issues. It usually happens with people that have father issues, you know. In other words, their dad wasn't there for them, or you know what. And this is male and female, right? And it's just this idea to really come and rise up against, you know, anything that the leader does. We're not there to support. You know, we're there to refine, but the refining, you know, what we think is refining is actually quite demonic in a sense, right? And so is that what's operating in our hearts, you know? You know, when you look at leadership or when you see leaders, and this could be at your work, it could be at church, I mean, it could be, all, you know, all across the board, right? Do you feel like you're there to support and to be a blessing, you know, or are you there for other motives or other different things, right? And so it's really important for us to grasp that because, I mean, you could be very easily acting like a tare, you know, in many ways. And then, you know, he throws a lot of other parables, but the last one I just want to finish with, he talks here about Jesus going back to Nazareth, you know, and he goes back to the place and, you know, he's finished teaching, you know, he goes to his hometown and he begins in the synagogue teaching and the people just don't like it. You know, which speaks of a few things, right? Now, I'm not trying to be so anti-Catholic, okay? But it just speaks of a few things. Number one, it speaks of when Jesus was alive, right? Or when before he was, you know, been baptized, he didn't do anything. He didn't do any miracles there, right? Which is very contrary to the Apocrypha, you know, and to other of the Catholic writings, you know, who write about Jesus doing miracles when he was a young child, you know, and some of the, you know, extra testamental books that are out there, right? That's not true. He, you know, if he did, these people would not feel so alarmed at his miracles. You know, they would just be like, oh, yeah, I remember that guy. Yeah, he caused that dove to be born, you know, when it was dead, you know, or to come alive. And, yeah, you know, he did this kind of thing. He didn't. You know, he didn't do anything when he was a child, right? And they came to this. And then the other thing, right, is that, you know, Mary, she's not a virgin. You know, I'm sorry, right? But the scriptures are very clear in this, right? That Mary, I mean, she, James, Joseph, Simon, Judas, and a couple sisters, right? And things. And so I don't really know this whole infatuation with the Virgin Mary in that sense. And we realize that, number one, she's not a virgin at all, right? That she obviously, had intercourse with Joseph and had all these kids, you know? But I mean, that's not the main point, right? I'm not trying to bash Catholicism. That's not really my heart. I just want to learn more, you know, to be perfectly honest. But on top of that, and so they come to this place and they said they took offense at him. You know, this actually follows the same thought. It was, right, the issue again is the heart, right? These guys, they were angry. You know, they thought, who is this guy? They probably thought he had a demon or something, right? Well, how is all these, don't we know him? Isn't that little punk kid that used to, you know, go and fix our doors and fix our furniture? I mean, isn't that Joseph's son? I mean, is this really the same guy? And it says there that he did not do many miracles there because of their unbelief, right? It did not do many miracles there. You know, it didn't say he could not, right? But he did not, right? Those, you know, their unbelief, you know, in other words, their lack of faith stunted, you know, all the wonderful things that God wanted to do in their lives, you know, and which really brings home for many of us, you know, in our hearts, right? Is there unbelief in our hearts, right? Is there an attitude deep within us that in many ways that prevents God from moving in our lives? You know, maybe it's disappointment. You know, maybe, you know, we have, you know, some episodes with the Lord, you know, that we were disappointed at some time. Maybe we had prayed and he didn't answer our prayer. And so as a result, there's a bit of resentment that's in our hearts, you know, and it's unbelief. You know, it creates an atmosphere in our lives, right, where God can't work, or he doesn't work in. You know, it's again, it's about presenting our hearts before the Lord. So let's close our eyes today. We make sure that we understand. It's our hearts before the Lord. As Chi-Sun leads us in a song of worship, let's give our heart to Jesus. This weekend I talked about the totality of everything. It's in that same way today. Let's give our heart to Jesus. If you have disappointments, lay it at his feet. If you have attitudes, lay it at his feet. And ask God for a clean heart and pure hands.
Change my heart, oh God.
Let's pray. Let's really pray that God would change our hearts and would just continually draw us to Him. Let's pray for, you know, a real diligence in us to really present our hearts before God, that it really be good soil. And with that, you know, let me read you this little parable that he wrote. He said, "The kingdom of heaven is like leaven, which a woman took and hid in 3 pecks of meal until it was all leavened." You know, basically what this means is the kingdom of God is very thorough. You know, once the word gets set in your heart, the word of God will do its job. It will change us. You know, the leaven, you know, a lot of times is also translated the yeast. You know, I don't know much about baking, but I think, maybe you can correct me, I think yeast is what causes the bread to rise. You know, something quite interesting in that, isn't it? Right, the Word of God, just a very small thing that's in our hearts, right? And as we, if we allow the Word of God to do its job, it causes it to arise, our hearts to arise, each of us to arise, our cities to arise, our nations, our presidents, our families, right? And so you let the Word of God do its job in your heart by creating a pure heart before Him. And the Word of God will do its job. It'll be thorough. And it'll cause everything to live around it. Huh? Let's pray. Let's go to our mission focus, and let's pray for North Korea. Let's pray for the persecuted church there. Let's pray for Chris, Kim, and Peter Han, and Traddy, and, you know, many of us in the morning service. Sorry, the afternoon guys, you missed out, but we had Mark Kim, who's a refugee in Korea, who escaped twice. And, you know, let's pray for the refugees in Korea right now. Let's pray that God would really give them a heart to go back to North Korea once it opens up, you know, to really be witnesses, you know, of God's goodness and God's care, right? So let's lift up. Let's also pray for Bhutan. John Lee is there right now, as well as Tom. Pray for real grace for them as they lead in this basketball camp. Let's pray for them. Let's pray for the Febe ministry and the Korean church. Let's pray for Pastor Salomon and his wife and kids, and they would just continue to grow, and the Indonesian people would continue to rise up. Let's pray for the Korean church as they look for a new pastor. Let's pray for just an atmospheric change within the church. Let's just lift them up. Let's pray for our house churches tonight, Star Street. Let's pray for the Morels and Seymour Road, the Kims, and for Matt and Sophia Lan Kwai Fong. Let's pray for God's grace and favor as they discuss the message and as they really just fellowship and draw near to each other. Let's just pray and just cover the time tonight. Let's pray for our move. Let's ask God to continue to bless the steering committee and continue to draw the church closer together in unity. Pray that God would just really open up space and continue to bless those that give. Let's continue to pray for the vine and ask God to really bless them and really bring them together as well during this time and really, really do a miracle in their midst. Let's just cover. Let's pray for Tanya. Pray for her father with his be healed of his cancer. Pray for the family to be unified in Christ, and the mom would continue to serve the Lord. Pray for God's guidance in the workplace for her, and also that she'd really have breakthrough and peace about the plans that God has for her. Let's lift up Tanya. Let's pray for Sean. Let's pray that the Lord would just make her like Jesus and full of grace and love for people, especially her family. Pray for her walk with the Lord to be intimate. Pray for wisdom and patience to raise up three godly sons. And for Caleb, that he'd be a selfless big brother. And Jacob, to be healed of his asthma and to be respectful to Caleb and loving to Isaiah. Pray for Isaiah to enjoy being the youngest and respectful to his brothers. And pray for God to grant her understanding towards Jeremy or his hectic work schedule. Let's just cover Sean and the family. Let's pray for Jacqueline. Let's pray that God would just save and heal all of her family, her father, mother, two brothers, three sisters, right, and their spouses and their children. I pray that they would believe in the Lord, and as she goes back home for Chinese New Year, that she'd have the courage and the strength and the wisdom to share the gospel with them. So let's cover. Father, we thank you so much, God. We thank you that the Word of God is so thorough, Lord, that it just takes a little bit, God, and it leavens the whole dough, Father. And God, and if we open our hearts to you, even just a little bit, God, Lord, that you will do the work in our lives. And so we want to present to you clean hands and a pure heart, Father. And so would you continually, Lord, disciple us, God, and continually teach us, Lord, and continually nudge us, Father God, Lord, towards holiness, towards your hands and your grace. Lord, watch over us this day, Father, that we just give you our lives, God, and we say, make it something splendid today. We thank you, Lord. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. God bless you guys. Have a great day today, and we'll see you tomorrow morning.